Live from the 6th and Peabody Studio and across the OutKick Network, this is OutKick 360 with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
OutKick 360 continues across the OutKick Network, Tennessee Center Stage in Atlanta at SEC Media Days. And our next guest is making the rounds, Tennessee head coach Josh Heupel with us on OutKick. Coach, good to have you back on.
Thank you. Go Big Orange Day down here. It's been a lot of fun.
And busy as well. I'd like to start with your players. I was looking at the list of guys that each of the programs brings to Atlanta. Your three, I think the one thing that jumps out is no five stars. No quote-unquote big-time recruits for Tennessee. But Hendon Hooker, Cedric Tillman, and Trey Flowers make up a key group of a nucleus of your football team. All three are a true testament to perseverance and sticking with the course.
Yeah, five-star players now, and five-star leaders too. You just can't find better ambassadors for Tennessee football, the University of Tennessee, Vol Nation, than those three guys. They've all been through ups and downs during the course of the career. They've come out on the backside. They've grown so much in my short amount of time there. It's just been a lot of fun to see their development. And, you know, this is one of the great days where you get a chance to expose kids to something completely different than what they've known or seen before. They were so excited as they got on the plane. It's been a great day.
There is always a culture change with a new coach, but it seems like whatever you did in year one completely turned that locker room around. And I'm sure we don't know the half of it, honestly. What were you trying to do to put your mark on the program to make such a dramatic change in the culture?
Yeah, I just tried to be true to who I am and who our staff is. And at the end of the day, there's a lot of different ways to win. But to me, to be your absolute best, you better have fun doing what you're doing with the people that you're doing it with, and create a locker room that's full of accountability, and really a program, not a locker room, a program, because I'm just I got to live these values out every day too, but one of accountability and connection. And you know what's crazy is that in my first dialogue with our players when I got announced as the head coach, you know, we sat in there and talked for probably close to an hour and 45 minutes. Those are two things that they talked about that were missing and things that they wanted. And our kids grabbed onto it extremely quickly. We compete extremely hard, but we have fun doing what we're doing every single day. And our players live that out. Our staff live that out. We've been able to show that we're going to be consistent in who we are as coaching staff and leaders inside of the building. We've developed great work habits every single day inside the building too. And I love what our locker room is becoming.
It shows. I mean, there is a lot of buzz and hype about the program this year. We've talked with Hendon and others about that. From the head coach's perspective, is it hard to sleep because you're trying to get this year going? You're ready to just kick off the football?
I might have some problems in my day-to-day life. Sleeping is not one of them. My head hits the pillow, I'm out. And whenever the alarm hits, I'm going to get up. I think everybody inside of our program is extremely excited about finishing this phase, this third quarter, this offseason here in the summer, but the anticipation of getting to training camp. And you know, a year ago, every phase that we went into, so much uncertainty from our players, just understanding what it was going to be like every day. Excuse me. And you know, now a majority of our roster knows exactly what it's going to be like. And they're just excited to get ready to go compete. And I'm looking forward to training camp. It's it is my favorite time of the year, just because it's all football all day long with the people that you love doing it with.
What time does the alarm hit?
Depending on the time of year. In July, that baby's hitting a lot later than it is the other 11 months out of the year.
When what's late to you, though? What would sleeping
man,
in?
In July, I'm not going to lie, man. Like, I'll hit 8:30 occasionally, depending on how late the previous night was with the wife and kids, playing games, playing some golf with my daughter, whatever it might be. But during the course of the season, man, you're talking, I can tell you every morning what it is during the season, but somewhere between 5 and 6 o'clock.
So you're trying to punch in around 6 a.m. at the facility?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's the latest. I'm an early guy, though. Like, I don't function well at the end of the day, man. My best and most productive moments in the office are certainly before the sun comes up.
No Gruden aspirations of like 4:30 in the morning type stuff.
Nah, that's not healthy either.
I find it interesting this week that all off season, there have been coaches who just cannot stop talking about NIL and regulations that are needed. And then I look at Tennessee's perspective. You didn't ignore it. You acknowledged it was a thing. And I would describe it as you leaned into it. And it's shown with your success in recruiting, which is off to a fantastic start. Why was it so easy for you to embrace NIL immediately?
I just look at how it's changed the way that players come into your program and their forward thinking. The opportunity to educate and empower these guys and take advantage of this time in their life and do it the right way. Look at the opportunity that Cedric Tillman and Hendon Hooker had. They left Knoxville, went up to New York City. We're on Wall Street. Got a chance to meet with close to, two handfuls of prominent business and corporations that are known worldwide. Got a chance to meet with leadership. Those are connections that are going to help them now. They're going to help them when they get to the NFL, and they're going to help them for the rest of their life. Man, isn't that not what college sports and what we're trying to do on college campuses is help prepare them for life? To me, that's exactly what we should be doing. And then I look back on my playing career, right? And the best thing that I had were my teammates and the logo that I was playing for. There's no doubt about that. But I also created opportunity and with my name on the back of the jersey and what we were doing and what I was doing. I would have liked to have an opportunity to take advantage of that. And I could have worn my buddy, starting left tackle and worn his jersey. And I don't know. I look at those opportunities. Look at what, Hendon's done locally, and his ability to write a scriptures book, how that impacts youth, right? What he's doing inside of the community. To me, those are all things that are great benefits of current NIL legislation.
How confident are you that your group right now is ready for a season where you're not going to catch anyone by surprise? Defenses and coordinators have had a chance to dive in and examine your offense, and that the players are going to hear all about expectations and reaching a higher mark this year. How do you think they handle it?
Yeah, the expectations a year ago, you can't ignore outside noise anymore. You hear it. You're going to see it. Social media, your family. I mean, it's 24 hours a day, right? Understand that you're hearing those things and don't let it affect the way that you work when you come inside of the building. And your work habits are going to define who and what we were. A year ago at this time, there wasn't a ton of positive noise outside of our building as far as, Tennessee football in the future. We knew who and what we were and what we were doing and our ability to go compete. There was a long ways, to get to kickoff and going and winning games, but we knew what we had done. The same is true now. Whether it's positive or negative, the outside noise has no bearing on what's going to happen the first time we kick off the ball on opening day. It won't make or not make a play when we get to the fall. We earn it by who we are and how we work every single day. And that's been our focus, leadership, communication, connection, and then our work habits. And our work habits are going to drive our expectations. And we do need to become a team that expects to win. I believe that we're on that journey. We got to finish it off in training camp. And that's going to help us when we get to the fall.
Josh Heupel, our guest. Final thing, because I know you need some water and you've got plenty more obligations coming up.
Bill must have given something to me. I'm going to play that up.
Defensively, do you view this as if we can get two more stops a game, three more stops a game, three more possessions for the offense without the opposition scoring, that's enough? Like, where do you
need
to be?
That's not how we approach it. We want to have the fastest, fiercest, most aggressive defense in all of college football and be the most dominating defense on the football field every Saturday afternoon. That's how we approach it.
Kiffin, the reason I bring that up, Kiffin said that a couple of years ago about what he wanted. And that was interesting. I wanted to get your perspective on it.
We're gonna recruit great players. They're going to be dominant players. They're going to be some of the best at their position in all of college football and be high draft picks. In that, we're going to have an opportunity to play at as lead a level as anybody in college football on the defensive side of the ball. That's how we approach it. And a year ago. We were first in the country in tackles for loss until the first or until the last week of the season, I think, finishing the top 10. We got to get better at third and long defense. Man, if there's ever a space you want to be in, it's third and long as a defensive play caller and defensive players. We got to be able to affect the quarterback and get after him with our front four and not just rely on pressure. And we're capable of doing that. I think we're deeper than we were a year ago. A year ago, didn't talk about it during the season, but the fact is we had 69 total scholarship players. A bunch of really good players had left our program before I got there on the defensive side of the ball. We're deeper. We have more competition. We understand how to finish now and everything that we're doing outside of the game, not just in the game. A lot of those factors, I think, allow us to play better defensively than we did a year ago. And make no mistake, we got to improve in every area, offensively, defensively, and special teams. But third and long defense and red zone defense are two things that are a priority for us defensively.
You have to be thrilled about Hendon Hooker and where he can be 9 to 10 months from now. I mean, he could be first round pick this time next year.
I'm excited that he came back for all the right reasons, in college football, that he's been intentional in the way that he's worked. Everything's been heightened since he got back after the bowl game. I'm really proud of the leadership role that he's taken. You can feel him and sense his energy every day from our entire football program. He's helped develop great leadership around him inside of the locker room as well. I'm excited to go on this journey, and this journey won't be about, you know, numbers for him. This journey is about wins and losses, but I'm so proud of what he's done, the subtle things that he's improved on. And really looking forward to watching and competing with him on Saturday afternoons. And I know he's got a great future ahead of him.
Pump for the season, man. Appreciate the time today. And make the rest of the rounds and snooze until 8:30 tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I mean, there's not many mornings that are 8:30. It's go time. So I'll be in early tomorrow. But maybe get a chance to play one last round of golf with my daughter here this weekend. So go Big Orange. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Josh Heupel has been our guest. And next time he's in Nashville, he's always welcome to join us right here in studio. More coming from Radio Row in Atlanta, where the Vols continue to make the rounds. And we have plenty more guests coming from Texas A&M and from Auburn. All that and more coming up on Outkick 360. He's one of the top returning playmakers in all of college football, quite frankly, definitely at the University of Tennessee. Wide receiver Cedric Tillman with us on Outkick 360 across the Outkick network. Cedric, good to see you, man. Hope things are well.
Good to see you. Thank you for having me.
For those who don't remember, your first catch came against West Virginia in the first game that Jeremy Pruitt coached at Tennessee. Yeah. And then I don't think you had another catch until the following season. How much... When I look at the Heupel offense, how much of a breath of fresh air has this offense been for you?
Oh, man, it's been huge. I think I only had one catch my freshman year. It was like a little screen that didn't go for much. Being in Heupel's offense, you know, it's definitely helped, you know, me put up more catches than just that one. But, it's cool. You know, the offense is fun. You know, it's fast. And it's given me and my teammates opportunity to shine.
Do you consider yourself the most dangerous deep threat in the game right now?
Absolutely. I look at myself as, you know, one of the best players in college football in general, you know, and that's the mentality you got to have. You know, you got to, you know, feel, but you got to put in the work. You know, I wouldn't be saying this if I didn't put in the work and if I didn't know it was going to show on Saturday. So I'm excited about the season. I think we got a great team. I think we got great coaches and I'm excited about it.
I think you're a great example of what fit means for an individual player with a specific type of offense, because like if I can imagine asking you that type of question back during the COVID season, which is not that long ago, where you had like 8 catches your first 3 seasons at Tennessee. What clicked for you in this offense specifically?
Just having an opportunity to be the go-to guy. In the years previous past, that wasn't necessarily the case. But this last year, I just wanted to show, you know, prove to myself that, you know, I am, you know, one of the best receivers out there and, wanted to be the best teammate I could be, wanted to help my team win. And, my biggest thing is when the ball's in the air, you know, I never want to disappoint, you know, my teammates because my teammates are relying on me. So you know, it's been big.
Cedric Tillman, our guest on Outkick 360, wide receiver for Tennessee. Were you close to turning pro? How close were you to going to the draft?
Man, I don't really know. I don't really have a specific percentage. Definitely something I thought about, but, you know, obviously I made the decision to come back. You know, I think 2 days before the bowl game, made a decision to come back. You know, I got my quarterback coming back, and I felt like there was some things I wanted to fix as a receiver before I went pro, so I can be more developed there. So, you know, coming back, and I feel like Tennessee, we can do something special this year. You know, like I said, and then coming back, a couple guys, other guys coming back, and, you know, we really, for the most part, every coach stayed. So, you know, you can't ask for anything more.
Yeah, plenty of continuity, and you're going to have that with your quarterback as well in Hendon Hooker. I saw where you were with Spire Sports. Hendon was there too in Times Square. What, that was cool.
Yeah, it was definitely a check box, you know, check thing, you check out the box. But never in a million years would I thought I would be like on a billboard in Times Square. You know, not just, I don't think any college football player has done that, but, you know, I've heard now too many NFL players have done that, you know, and if it is, you know, it's the elites of the elites, you know, so just being able to have that opportunity, you know, to go to New York and then, you know, have your own billboard of you and your quarterback, you know, me and my brother, you know, that's a dream come true.
For those who haven't seen it, I would check out Instagram for Spire, and we've shared it as well. Did you know whenever you were on Times Square that you were going to be on the billboard? Was that a surprise to you?
Yeah, it was. You know, it was shocking. Like I said, we kind of walked and they kind of said, turn around. And we looked and like, oh, snap. So, you know, it's just you just never expect anything like that, truly. So, yeah, it was a memory I'll have forever and something I'll cherish forever.
Hey, the continuity of the offense. How much time have you spent with Hendon this offseason specifically?
Yeah, I mean, the last week, me and Hendon have been hip to hip, you know, with New York, this, you know, going to Nashville trip last week, you know, but it's been cool. You know, that's outside stuff. But, you know, inside stuff, you know, with each other every day, talking about, you know, what we see here, what we see there. You know, it's key for him and me to be on the same page this year. And like I said, we're looking forward to it.
What do you guys consider a long possession time when you have the football?
I feel like anything over six plays. Yeah, six plays. Because if you look at it, a lot of times we were scoring like six, seven plays or less.
Yeah.
So, yeah, usually like we didn't have too many drives where it was like 10 play drives. So, yeah, usually we score is either six or seven plays underneath. So, yeah.
Yeah. I brought up with Heupel. He was on a couple months ago. And I said, man, no complaints about the pace of your offense. I just wish I would see a 4 minute offense every now and then where you just possess the football a little longer. Yeah, he claims you guys do practice a 4 minute offense.
Yeah, we do. We practice 2 minute drill. We practice 4 minute. We actually do. But that's why, like, you do 2 minute drill, but we do 2 minute drill all the time. So, you know, it's not that big of a difference. So, yeah.
2 minutes is too long for Heupel at his offense.
Exactly.
Hey, what did Juwan Jennings and Marquez Callaway and Josh Palmer mean to you as mentors? I know that you guys are very close.
Yeah, it was big, man. You know, being able to look up to three NFL receivers, you know, who are all still in the league today. It's no shock. You know, I got to see those guys every day work hard. You know, all three were leaders. You know, they led in different ways. But, you know, just being able to study their game, you know, take their advice. I don't like to give all credit to them, but, you know, I definitely give credit to them for being in the position that I am.
Cedric Tillman is our guest on Outkick 360. You're from Vegas, right?
Yes, sir.
Is being from Vegas the same as like me visiting Vegas? Does it have the same vibe?
Absolutely not. No. A lot of people come to Vegas to go to the strip and stuff like that.
Yeah.
When I go out there, I'd be outside, you know, I'm about 20 minutes away from, you know, what people see on TV and the movies. So, I don't really, when I go back home, it's not the party and stuff like that, as opposed to like somebody else. So, yeah.
I mean, I can imagine growing up there and trying to avoid the strip, like in high school and stuff. I make the comparison. I wanted to go to University of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I ended up at Middle Tennessee State. Had I gone to Tennessee, Cedric, I would have flunked out within the first three semesters. I feel the same way about growing up in Las Vegas. I don't feel like I would have become much of anything living on the Vegas Strip.
Yeah, I mean, it's different. You know, a lot of, like I said, surprisingly, not a lot of Las Vegas natives, you know, actually go to the strip. You know, it's a lot of, people from out of town. So, you know, people ask me what it's like. I mean, it's just like, it's home. So, you know, it's all I knew, you know. So from the moment I was 5, 6 years old, walking in casinos and stuff like that, you know, I would see people lose money. So I was like, when I get older, I don't want to be like them.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just, I saw it every day. So it was, you know, obviously it's a beautiful city, but it's, you know, when you see something every day for what, 18 years, you know, you kind of get used to it.
Hey man, the Raiders are there now. Who knows? Could be back home.
Who knows? Yeah.
Your dad played at Alcorn State. Did he overlap with Steve McNair briefly?
Yeah. So he was a senior when Steve McNair was a freshman.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, he always only has good things to say about him. You know, says he was extremely talented quarterback. You know, he went to the league. So, you know, extremely talented quarterback, you know, good leader, a great leader, excuse me. And just has nothing but positivity to say about him.
How much of influence has your dad had on you?
Huge. You know, I've kind of said it all day today. You know, my dad is probably the hardest working person in the world to me. You know, he's only getting 2-3 hours of sleep a day, you know, going to his job, then coaching me and my brother, you know, from the moment we was in elementary school. You know, that never complains, you know, and it takes a strong man and a hardworking man to do that. So, you know, when I see him, you know, work as hard as he does, you know, I'm like, who am I to complain? So.
Cedric Tillman has been our guest. Finally, no one was really talking Tennessee football this week last year. Mm-hmm. We didn't know what to expect. I don't think you guys are catching anyone off guard this year. How do you feel that the leadership on the team responds to the expectations versus last year where you're trying to prove that you belong?
Just having that same mentality as last year, you know, and I'm not going to sit up here and say, oh, that's an easy thing. Cause you know, obviously we have social media accounts, obviously the fans tell us, but
yeah,
you know, you can't get too complacent. You know, that's complacency is how you lose in this league. You know what I'm saying? So last year was last year, you know, and, we still feel like last year we could have done even better. So, you know, we're not satisfied. We're hungry. You know, we want to get Tennessee back as a powerhouse. So that's what we're looking forward to.
We're looking forward to the season, man. I know you are too. Cedric Tillman has been our guest. Appreciate you, man. Stay healthy. And we look forward to watching you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Cedric Tillman from the University of Tennessee. Big things planned for him and the Tennessee offense.
Yes, sir.
Hutton crushing it earlier today. There's Cedric Tillman. He also caught up with Volunteers safety Trey Flowers.
Outkick 360 continues across the Outkick Network. Jonathan Hutton with you. Paul Kaharsky back momentarily. Tennessee making the rounds at SEC Media Days. Players and, of course, head coach Josh Heupel there on the final day of teams meeting with various media members. And a guy that's going through the car wash, so to speak, is Tennessee safety Trey Flowers, who joins us now from our broadcast site in Atlanta. Trey, good to see you, man.
Great to see you too. Thanks for having me.
2022 is going to be the third season as a starter for you and at safety for the University of Tennessee. For those that don't know your story, you were not a big time recruit. Late in the process, programs discovered you and you actually had a choice to make on signing day between Tennessee and Clemson. And then you also had a future as a baseball player and could have gone down that path. As you consider where you were to where you are now, how do you think things have shaped up for you?
Oh, man, all I can say is everything happened for a reason, dog. There's been a lot of confusion, and there was never just an I know what to do situation. I kind of just I'm a big believer in God, so I kind of just had to go with my faith, man, and everything. I'm in this position right now, so I can't really complain too much.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, now imagine going through the NIL process as a senior in high school instead of the collegiate route now.
Wait, say that one more time for me.
I say, imagine doing all that the week of your commitment and then actually having NIL whenever you were going through the recruiting process.
Right. Yeah, that would have been crazy. That would have been crazy for sure.
Trey Flowers, our guest, you were one of Jeremy Pruitt's first commitments on defense in his first signing class. You started, what, one game as a freshman,
yes,
broke your leg as a sophomore before finally coming into your own in Pruitt's final season. During that grind and the growth that you experienced over those seasons, did you think that you would be sitting here today as a leader and a representative for the program?
And I always knew I was chosen to impact somehow or to be a lead of something. But honestly, I can say this truthfully. I honestly didn't even know I would be playing football, bro. I had no idea I'd be in this position. I knew my work ethic and my determination will get me somewhere. But here in SEC Media Day in my hometown, representing football, a sport that I haven't really, that I just started playing my senior year of high school. It's crazy to think about, man. And like I told you, just all blessings.
Yeah, man. You mentioned Atlanta as your hometown. You grew up playing baseball with your brothers. I think the plan was originally to go to Kentucky to play baseball. Do you ever wonder what if you would have gone the baseball route?
Sometimes I think about what would have happened. I mean, I think anybody would. Baseball was my first love. That's all I really knew at a certain point in time. So I definitely will always miss that. And I always think about what would have happened. But like I told you, man, I'm here. So I'm blessed to be here. I don't regret anything.
I'm assuming you're a Braves fan.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What was the World Series run like for you?
Oh, man. That was amazing. That was actually the first time. That might have been the first time Atlanta ever won anything since I've been born.
What year were you born?
I was born in 1999.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. The last championship was 95. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it was amazing. I might not get another one for a decade, but let's hope we do.
You're a great shortstop. Are there qualities of that position that transition well to the safety spot now?
Every single one, every one of them, man. I can give you a list of them, from instincts to communication, to ball skills, to movement, lateral movements, just pretty much everything. Like I told some of the other people, man, I used to catch a ball this small with my opposite hand.
Wow.
Now I'm catching the ball that's 5 times bigger with both. So it's like, yeah, man, it definitely helped out in crazy, tremendous way that people don't even realize probably. But most of the stuff that I'm playing with, I got from baseball for sure, most of it.
Trey Flowers, our guest, safety for the Tennessee Volunteers. You were rooming, I believe, with Alante Taylor. How is he enjoying the New Orleans Saints? Probably a lot better now because of his contract signing a couple days ago.
Yeah. That's all we've been talking about for the last month, him signing his contract, though. He got that done. I talked to him yesterday, man. He's excited. I'm excited for him, man. That's like one of my best friends. I love that dude, man. I'm happy for him.
Who you rooming with now?
Cedric Tillman.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's making the rounds with you today. Yeah. Quick,
fun fact, actually, me, Alante, and Cedric were all roommates when we first got here, our sophomore years. So we've been tight. So now it's me and Cedric. We got one more go around. We done moved in together, man. Got to go out with a bang.
Hey, you mentioned excitement. There is a ton of excitement for the upcoming season in Knoxville. I know you guys can feel it. What is it like as a player going into year two with Heupel, having that continuity and building off of the successes of last year?
Oh, man, it's great. It's just kind of like you said, building. We all watched the film. We all as Tennessee Volunteers, we look back and see what we can improve on. And just being able to push each other, focus on the details, the accountability part, the little stuff that matters when we're tired and exhausted, gonna play dividends. Because when we step on that field, it's all about your training and the habits you created. So when we're tired, we're gonna rely on our training and our habits. So that's been the biggest part of just everything, is just building, creating better habits, training harder, because it's not about what you do, because everybody's doing it across the country. It's about how you do it.
Trey Flowers has been our guest safety for the University of Tennessee. Congrats on the recent success. Glad you're healthy, and stay healthy as you go into the season, man. Best of luck to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
You got it, man. There's Trey Flowers from the Tennessee Volunteers defense. A lot more coming from Radio Row in Atlanta on Outkick 360. Hang with us.
Outkick 360 rolls on across the Outkick Network. 6th and Peabody, our location, with Yeehaw Beer and Old Smoky Moonshine. Alongside Paul Kaharski, I'm Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow in Nebraska. Haven't heard much from Chad this week. I hope all is well.
It's a good sign. I asked him if he saw...
I hope he's not snowed under.
I asked him yesterday if he saw Better Call Saul from Monday, and he said he had not seen it yet, which tells me he's found activities.
It's
rare for him to fall behind.
Paul, you mentioning this, I have failed to finish Ozark, and I just realized it. I was going to ask... I'm 2 episodes from finishing, and I've been 2 episodes from finishing...
For a while.
Like a month and a half.
Yeah, you got to get
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I should do it tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Note
to self.
Assignment.
Note to self. Binge the rest of Ozark. I don't want it to be over. Outkick 360 is where you can follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, search the YouTube channel as well. Our thanks to all of the guests down at SEC Media Days, all the great work on behalf of us to Davey Hudson and Trey Wallace and Glenn Gilbo of Outkick.com. So the Patriots announced their coaching staff today, Paul.
Yeah, it's a traditional to get around to that on July 21st.
Yes. Official titles for their coaching staff. And this is deliberate, and it is on purpose just to mess with us. Like, there's no other way to explain why you wouldn't just say who's the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. This is from Albert Breer. The Patriots have announced coaching staff titles, finally. Joe Judge is the offensive assistant quarterback's coach. Matt Patricia is senior football advisor and offensive line coach. Steve Belichick and Gerard Mayo are linebacker's coaches. Keep that in mind. Now, what that means is New England does not have, on paper in their media guide for everyone to figure out, they do not have, by title, an offensive or defensive coordinator, because Gerard Mayo and Steve Belichick are listed as only linebackers coaches.
So stupid.
Why not just? You went back and we referenced your time in Oakland earlier. This is a story about trying to figure out who was calling plays.
Yeah.
I don't understand the secrecy with it, especially in this day and age when by naming that person offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator, that elevates them to another status where that coach could go on to potentially become a head coach in the league. Maybe that's the problem, but I doubt Bill Belichick's trying to hinder anyone on his staff from becoming a head coach in the NFL.
Well, you don't have to have an offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator. Look, I'll believe Belichick's the defensive coordinator then. But to have two linebacker coaches of that status is dumb. And you don't divide inside and outside linebacker coaches, which a lot of teams do. And then, like, what? Give me again, like, the Judge's pre-title.
So Joe Judge is offensive assistant / quarterbacks. Now, keep in mind.
Offensive assistant. So why isn't he just quarterbacks coach? That's an offensive assistant. And then Patricia's is even dumber.
Senior football advisor / offensive line.
So senior football advisor. So I guess on that, that on its own would make him important, like he's Belichick's advisor / quarterback. So he's got two jobs. He's the quarterback coach and he's Belichick's senior football advisor. Man, it's just no point trying to figure it out. Listen, I could see the Patriots, I was talking with Dockich about this earlier today. It wouldn't totally blow my mind if they finished in last place in that division this year. Third, completely possible. They could go to the playoffs as a second-place team, but they'd have to do it with defense and running the football.
Are you saying all things being equal as we see it now, they're finishing fourth?
Because the thing is, because Tua, who I don't have a lot of faith in, and quarterback of the Jets,
Wilson,
have had a lot of things to surround them. And Mac Jones hasn't had a lot of things to surround him.
He's got more now, though.
Well, I'm not a big Devontae Parker guy.
Yeah, but it's better than N'Keal Harry, who they finally got rid of.
Yeah, and I'm not big on this second-round draft pick from, where is he from? Texas Tech or Texas, somewhere in Texas, who's a rail and going to get knocked off the ball. So, I mean, if they win And I'm not saying they can't win this way, but they're going to do it with defense and running and Mac Jones being super efficient. But those other teams are more dangerous, more threatening in the traditional football way. And the Bills, I think, run away with
I agree with that. The difference is coaching.
Right. So he'd make up for it with cleverness.
What you're describing is exactly who the Patriots were last year. They had the number two defense, scoring defense in the NFL, behind only Buffalo. So like that's who they are, and they're trying to develop the quarterback while they do that.
To develop that quarterback, you can't get away with being as bad at receiver as you were for a lot of Tom Brady's time when he was making up the difference. Mac Jones is going
to
make up the
difference. What they have to figure out is what they're doing with Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. That they're spending a ton of money at tight end, and they didn't utilize it.
They were very ineffective with it last year.
Yeah. So if they can solve that puzzle and Mac Jones is healthy, again, I hate saying that, but that's the equalizer here is you suffer injuries in a division and it can cripple you. Offensively, they're more or less who they are, and they try to stack more production out of the tight end position. And they get rid of Harry and, you know, some of the veteran players, and they've replaced it with guys that they think can give a bit more production than what they had.
He'll probably figure out a way to do something, but I want them to be bad because of this, and because of their foolishness at receiver.
They're a lot like the Colts to me in that that it was not that long ago that they were hyped as a legitimate AFC contender. The Patriots going into November were at the time the number one overall seed in the NFL. It was right at the end of October, early November, just based on tiebreakers at the time with 2 months to play, a month and a half to play. It was Patriots. And we were discussing
that crazy win over Buffalo.
And we were chatting about, does this remind you of the 2001 team? It turns out it didn't. But, I mean, late in the year, they were still a team you had to respect. And a lot of people bought into them the same way we bought into Indy midway through the year.
But I think in personnel acquisition since then, a lot of teams have done a lot more than they have.
Yeah, but what they did is they normally don't jump out and overspend in free agency. They did that two years ago.
Yeah.
Because last year when there were six or seven teams that had the ability to actually spend money because of the drop in the cap, they took advantage of that and spent a ton of money.
Good those people are second year. And Matt Judon was very good.
He was very good.
And their defense is good. But I don't know. I'm just so uninspired by what they're doing offensively and why they choose those two guys to be Mac Jones's mentors.
It just looks
crazy. It looks like Belichick thumbing his nose at everybody and saying, look how much smarter I am than you. I'm going to do it this crazy way. You're all going to be critical of it, and we're going to do it anyway.
I guess, but that he doesn't come across as a guy that just does it in spite of – what point does he have to prove by – what difference would it be if he went out and brought Bill O'Brien back?
None.
But he's already done it, so why not do it again? Like, I don't think it's because
– or go get a young whippersnapper.
Or that, yeah.
That one of your boys tells you is the next big thing.
I bring up O'Brien because he clearly went with a path of coaches that he knows.
Right.
Right? He's not trying to bring someone in from the outside. And he loses Josh McDaniels and replaces them with guys that he knows that haven't coached or called plays on offense. That's the intriguing part. And it's weird. He and the organization gets a ton of benefit of the doubt nationally because it's who they are. I mean, if that's Cleveland, they're ridiculed. Right. But rightfully so. He deserves benefit of the doubt based on what happened last year and how we foresee. If you said you could see them finishing third and out of the playoffs, I can lean more into that than I can finishing dead last with them being healthy as the roster sits right now because of their defense, because of how they're built up front. And, I mean, Mac Jones is pretty good.
I'd be less surprised to see him finish fourth than I would first.
Oh, they're not. If we're considering the rosters being what they are. Now, if Josh Allen tears his ACL in week one, I'm not shocked.
Things being equal.
I know. I would be shocked on either one, though, if all the teams are healthy and they finish first or fourth.
Well, it's hard to put faith in the Jets.
When I say shocked, like, if they beat Buffalo for the number one overall, I'm stunned.
Oh, that'd be stunner.
And if they finish behind the Jets and the Dolphins both, I'm stunned.
Yeah, it should be one of those teams.
With Mike McDaniel and Tua Tagovailoa, and with a brand new coaching staff and Zach Wilson in it,
second year coaching staff.
Second year coaching staff and Zach Williams in year two, and that Wilson in year two, and that is they're beating Belichick head to head with a year two quarterback.
It's a very intriguing division
for number two.
Yeah, well, the three of them, and the Bills are a very intriguing team, but their intrigue is AFC wise and maybe Super Bowl not division wise.
What would have to see in looking at the Dolphins schedule, they play each other week one. It's Belichick against McDaniel week one, and then the Dolphins have to go on the road to Baltimore, and then they're back home against Buffalo. So that's pretty a gauntlet. Start. Let me quickly look at the Patriots.
The Patriots, you're saying they're playing the Bills out of the gate or the Patriots?
No, they play
out of
the Dolphins.
Gate?
Patriots, Dolphins out of the gate.
Patriots again. Have some troubles with Miami. Now, it's a change.
Patriots
with
an interesting schedule, too, to open. They open against the Dolphins on the road to Miami. They then visit Pittsburgh, back to back road games in Miami, in Pittsburgh.
I like them against Pittsburgh.
Yeah. But back-to-back road games is unusual to start the season. And then they host Baltimore, and they're on the road at Green Bay. Three of their first four games are on the road, and they're visiting tough venues in Pittsburgh and Lambeau.
That's 2-2.
2-2, and if they're 3-1, then people are going to be looking at them like they were last year.
Ooh.
And then they have the Lions, the Browns, the Bears, and the Jets over the course of the next month.
That's
after
3-1 at worst. So yeah, there'll be a hot talk there. Well, they could be 4-2.
Yes. SEC Media Days headlines. Jimbo Fisher says that he's not as heated or hot with Nick Saban today as he was back in May. It's the first time we've heard public comments regarding that, really, at a podium setting. So, no big surprise as time heals all wounds, but you know, just talking with Billy Lucci, if you missed that conversation with the owner of TexAgs.com, he would know, and he says he wouldn't think that they've talked on the phone, and Jimbo Fisher's certainly not picking up the phone to call Saban. Saban continues to praise Jimbo every chance he gets now, though, so we'll see.
I'm tired of it. I think it's played itself out.
Oh, I love it.
Get to the game.
No one goes after Nick Saban.
But I mean, it's played itself out, right? It's
played itself out because now Greg Sankey told them to shut the hell up.
Yeah.
In the closed door meetings at the spring meetings. That's why it played itself out. And I think he put down the edict. Guys, talk about your team, preview your players, discuss all you want to about your program. Don't bring up other programs in no uncertain terms.
That's weak. It added spice.
Yes, it did. And now there's Lane Kiffin. We need Kiffin for the spice.
Bring it, Lane.
SEC Media Days complete. We'll recap it all tomorrow. We've got more guests from Radio Row there as well. Bobby Carpenter is going to be on the show. Plus Jason McCourty, recent retired defensive back, former Titans corner, Browns, Dolphins, Patriots. Speaking of those two teams, we've got Jason McCourty on. He's now the new co-host of Good Morning Football. So we will chat with J-Mac on tomorrow's show and a lot more with all the SEC headlines. We'll check in with Austin Price, Brent Hubbs tomorrow as well, and they'll give us the latest headlines going into what's going to be a fun August with all of the college football teams back at practice. Training camp officially opens next week. We'll get you ready for all that on OutKick 360.
Read it, hear it, obey it. Don't block the box, but be sure to lock your locks.